Hi everyone, welcome to Legends in the Dark. It's your host Leslie, and unfortunately Jay is still not with us, and I actually don't have a co-host this week. So it's just little old me. So instead of doing our normal, I tell you a creepy story and get one told to me, I thought I would begin with our listener stories. Some people have been sending them in, and I'm really excited to really dig into these. And it's been perfect timing, just right before Halloween. So tonight, we are going to take a gander at these listener stories. Actually, I will admit, full disclosure, the first one I have here is actually from my brother-in-law that I asked him to give me the details because he told me the story a couple years ago when he went to Washington, D.C. with my mother-in-law, his mother, for his birthday. And he had an experience, and as soon as he came back, and we were asking, oh, what did you see? What did you do? Yada, yada, yada. He looked at me and said, I have a story for you. So I had him, I couldn't remember all the particulars, so I had him write it down for me. So this first story is actually from my brother-in-law, Kevin. So there's no title, so it'll just be the brother-in-law story. Leslie, here's what I remember from the trip to Washington, D.C. Mom and I were renting a house in D.C. and she had the bedroom and I slept on the couch in the living room. Before bed, I would plug my phone in and leave it on the counter slash bar area in the kitchen. I would lay facing it so if my phone went off, I would see the wall light up, as I didn't have the sound on because I didn't want to wake Mom. Near the counter, across from my phone, was a small round breakfast table, just enough for four people. On the second or third night in D.C., I had plugged my phone in and went to sleep. Later, and I'm not sure how much longer it was from falling asleep, a bright light woke me up. Thinking it was my phone, I sat up and looked towards the kitchen. The light wasn't from my phone. There was a bright light coming from a figure of a woman dressed in last century's clothing, standing right in the middle of the table. She was transparent and was looking at me before she and the light slowly faded away. It was the only time I saw her the whole trip. So I remember asking him some questions on this one. And I think he told us this, I think around Easter, because I think they went in January. And he just remembers, he thought it was someone standing there. He actually thought it was his mother. And then realized that whoever this figure was standing in the middle of the table. And what I asked him, hey, were you sleepy? And he's like, nope, I woke up. It was one of those, I knew I was fully awake. And I said, what happened? He didn't put it in his letter, but I asked him what he did afterwards. He's like, I just went back to sleep. Because this is nothing new for him. He's has different experiences, and I would definitely have to get some more. But I never thought of that if you go with Airbnb or rent a house. You hear hotel haunts, but have not yet heard of an Airbnb haunt or a rented house haunt. And so that was creepy. Thank you, Kevin, again for sending that in to me. Okay, so here's one from an email. And it's just asks the questions, do houses have souls? So that's the subject. Okay, do houses have souls? What do you know about where you live? Yes, realtors have to tell you about if someone died in the house that they are selling in most states. But what if you're renting the house or apartment? Nowhere is it written that you have to be told. I would definitely do research before I moved in. Not everything is bad. My first house, the day I signed the papers, I wasn't feeling well. Found out later that day I was pregnant. That was the best news since we had been trying to conceive over a year. 10 years later, when we sold the house, the couple who bought our home found out they were expecting. I nicknamed the home the Fertility House. Okay, that was pretty good. Maybe it was a coincidence. In the small town where I lived, population around 1,200, my husband was a police sergeant. He had noticed that certain homes that were rentals, the same crime happened over and over, no matter who lived there. There was one rental house, people became violent. These are people who have no criminal records and end up going to prison. Everything was exactly the same, but a different man. Was his soul possessed? Think about where you live right now. How does it make you feel? How are you a different person when you were before you moved in? Why did you choose the place or did it choose you? I believe my house chose me. My husband died and I was living in a very nice home I could no longer afford and had to sell it. One night, I had a dream about being in a neighborhood with lots of dead ends. When I found my new house, it was in a neighborhood with three dead ends to all major streets. A lot of my furniture looked like I bought it for this house and lived here for years. It feels comfortable. The only odd thing is the blue energy wave light that comes through my house. It's blue, then turns white. It feels like a good energy. I caught photos of it right after I rearranged my office. I'll post the photos on Legends Facebook page. The blue light can also be seen on Google Maps above my house. If you have any ideas what you think it might be, please let me know. And that's from Debbie. Wow. You know, it's kind of what we were just talking about with Kevin's, you know, letter that he went to this B&B and there was something in the house. I remember in the Black Hope Horror where it was a brand new house, it was a new construction, and they moved in and all the things went crazy. And she had three daughters and all the daughters got divorced within a year of moving into the house. What else? Yeah, I know different stories, legends, and you know, you might have something there. You know, I think houses soak up energy just like everything else. And maybe sometimes it's that good energy and sometimes it's bad energy. This reminds me of the story I saw on Facebook from a friend's wife. She had mentioned that her house next door is on its fifth resident. And the other four past residents all were couples and all got a really, really bad divorce. And not just a normal, oh, we can't be together, let's get divorced. Like violence, screaming, arguments, divorce. So, Debbie, I think you might have something there that maybe houses do carry that energy. And some people can feel them more than others. Really good email. I can't wait until Jay comes back and maybe I'll ask him about this too. Okay, so I think it's time for our next email. This one is from Jen, and it's titled Creepy Bathroom Story. Oh, you know, I wish Jay was here because you know how him and I always talk about creepy bathroom stories. Okay, enjoying the podcast and heard your request for stories for personal experiences. Oh, thank you, Jen. The bathroom at my work is not creepy. It looks like any bathroom in corporate America. Fluorescent lighting, three stalls, two sinks, and a paper towel dispenser. The building is not that old, and it's so normal that it makes it even creepier when one day I went to use the facilities and this happened. I went in and noticed all the stall doors were open. Not thinking much about it, I went into the middle stall and hung up my jacket, closed the door, etc. As I was there, I began to hear distinct rustling sounds in the stall next to me. This stall was the one farthest away from the door. At first, I didn't think anything of it, but the sounds got louder. It sounded like someone was pulling on the toilet paper dispenser really rough. Then I heard nothing. It got really quiet, and then I heard the paper towel dispenser go off, and then the water turned on. Ooh. These are all on sensors, but what really had my heart stammering was the fact that no one passed by my stall. There were no footsteps, and when everything shut off again, no one left the bathroom. Oh man, I'm getting goosebumps. I finished quickly, got my jacket on, and got out of the stall. When I turned to look at the other stalls, the doors were all still open. Whoa, okay, I'm sorry. Oh my God, it's creepy. Still open. I washed up the quickest I have ever and left. Once I calmed down, I figured I must be hearing the sounds of a men's bathroom that was situated against the back wall of the women's bathroom. That was situated against the back. Oh, I see. You shared a wall. Okay, I see. They're next to each other. Bathroom. Laughing at myself at the silliness of it. Later, though, I heard some other women talking to a new coworker about their experiences in our bathroom and how many use the restroom on the next floor. Okay, see, that tells me right there that something creepy is going on. Okay, hold on. Let me finish this up. I have no idea what I heard, but it sure freaked me out. Thanks for reading, Jen. Okay, Jen, I have some mixed thoughts on this. So, one, I totally was thinking maybe it's the pipes or maybe the sensors, something, sometimes the heat in bathrooms or the temperatures will send off sensors. At least that's what I tell myself when my sensor goes off. But, or your idea of maybe because you share the wall with the, you're hearing things through the wall, especially if it's not well insulated. But I think for me, the creepiest part is there's people who go to a whole other floor. Because I'm one of those people, I work in a public sector. So I have to look nice, dress nice, heels and stuff. Sometimes I'll just wear flats to work. But sometimes it is a real pain to get up from your desk, go all the way to another floor to go to the restroom. And so if people are that creeped out and are doing that, I mean, they could have been little coworker hazing. I think if you remember, if you're a fan of this podcast, you may remember me telling the story that I was telling all the ghost stories about where I worked to a new coworker, and then I essentially left her alone, and she thought I was kind of hazing her, and I didn't mean to scare her that bad. But that is the creepiest story. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to tell Jay. But oh, thank you, Jen, for listening, and thanks for sending that in. You're giving me goosebumps, and I will tell you the truth. I am really glad I'm recording this with my husband upstairs and daylight still outside the window. Because if I was reading that when it was all quiet, my studio is semi next to the bathroom, so now I'm just kind of watching those doors, making sure nothing opens. Okay, well, that's all I have for right now. Please, please, please send me some more. It doesn't have to be scary stories. It doesn't have to be ghost stories. It could be urban legends. It could be about your experiences of seeing a Bigfoot. It could be your thoughts on the Loch Ness Monster. I just want to hear from you guys. And I know when Jay gets back, he's going to be very jealous that I got to read all of these stories and basically creep myself out. Because you know how much I like telling him stories, and he goes home and he texts me. He's like, I can't be here home alone now because I'm too scared. So come on, let us know what you have. And a legendary shout out this week. Well, let's go to my brother-in-law, Kevin, Jen, and Debbie. Thank you so much for sending in those stories and questions. Actually, I really like kind of contemplating about the houses. And until next time, you guys have a great week and happy Halloween. Good night.